Hey guys, welcome to episode 120 of A Wrestling Gal Podcast, providing you with a female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J, as today I am joined by the tall glass of whoop-ass, Marty Daniels. Now let's chat! Hello everybody, today I am joined by the tall glass of whoop-ass, Marty Daniels. So how are you doing today, girl?
I am fantastic, and how are you, Ella J?
I am doing amazing. Very excited to be chatting with you. You've been doing some fun things recently, which we'll talk about later. But firstly, how are you feeling as we delve into this year of 2021?
You know, it might be my own personal experience, but 2021 has been awesome for me so far. I realize that that might not be the case for everybody.
Yeah.
But the key is hang in there and stay positive. That's something I try to do all the time, even though it can be easier said than done, but stay positive, hang in there.
You know, Marty, I gotta be honest. I found some fascinating things about you during my research, which I kind of alluded to off air. But the first thing I wanted to touch on was our mutual love for the Viper, Randy Orton. So what draws you to him, girl? We're going to get into this.
Hold on a second. I had no idea. First of all, I thought you were cool to the max, but I had no idea that you were a Randy Orton fan. This, I have chills all over my body right now. Oh my God.
Yeah. He was at the first ever event I went to. I have, oh my God, Evolution of a Predator. Dude, he was my favorite for a very, very long time.
Oh my gosh. I love you so much. Okay. So I think the question you said was what draws me to Randy Orton, right?
Yes.
Okay. I have to say I am super old school, when it comes to my wrestling interests and the things that I like. And I just kind of really liked when all the wrestlers looked like somebody's dad. Everybody kind of looked a little bit older. You know, they looked like they had a couple of kids, even if they didn't. And Randy has an old school feel to me. He's been around for a really long time. So he was around when I was younger, but he's also still around.
Yeah.
And he is somebody's dad now. So
I mean, true. Now, what is your favorite version of Orton? The Legend Killer, the Viper, or the Apex Predator?
Ooh, very good question. So I actually have the Randy Orton Legend Killer shirt. It's one of my favorites. And I did really like that era of him because he was kind of this younger dude who was, you know, he did have a family name, but he was also a younger guy here to kind of upset what the older generation had in place. And I love that disruptance that he had. And what I like about him now is he has a, first of all, he's athletic.
Yeah.
He looks like a wrestler. He's huge. He's imposing. He's muscular. And he just has a very methodical approach to wrestling.
Very calculated. Yep.
Yes. Yes. I love his in-ring style. I love that there's an air of mystery to him. You don't really know what to expect with him. He's just always doing something any which way he wants.
Now, he's been a part of a lot of stables or teams throughout the years. So are you a fan of Evolution, Legacy, or Rated RKO when it comes to Randy Orton, if you had to pick one?
Oh, I did really like Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. But that was also, again, kind of like, would that have been around 2009?
Yeah, that's when I started watching wrestling. 2008, 2009, they were like feuding with DX and then they had the Royal Rumble and
Yes. And DX was fabulous because, I may be a little bit older, but when I started watching, it was, late '90s, early 2000s Attitude Era. So I was a huge fan of DX. It was so like, oh, look at these guys. They're doing all this crazy stuff on TV. And it was just pushing the envelope every Monday night. And so I just loved it.
So you would say Legacy Randy Orton then is your favorite?
I do love Legacy Randy Orton, but I have to say Rated RKO is a close second because of the fact that I also loved Edge.
Now, how did you feel about their intense feud last year? Did you feel it lived up to the hype and the standards you would expect from kind of this revitalization of a feud or a team? How did you feel about last year's predicaments?
I was excited for it, honestly. I thought, okay, first of all, here we go. We're bringing some old school back into the New Day. I'm here for this. And not the New Day faction.
Yeah.
New Day of Wrestling, I mean. But that's kind of what I mean is I love the mixture of old school stuff with the new school stuff. And so I was all there for the Randy Orton Edge feud. And I think that the top of the diesel when they were fighting on top of the truck, that was maybe one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And I just think that both of those guys have great mic skills, great promo skills, fantastic characters. So I love to see that kind of stuff go head to head.
Well, we could see it at the return of the Royal Rumble. Edge is back. Maybe we'll see Edge versus Randy again, kind of revisited. We'll see. It's definitely something to live up forward to.
He is confirmed, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
So we will
I like
see.
Where you're going with this, LJ. I like that.
Now, the most important question I have revolving Randy Orton is how is your Randy Orton standee doing?
I wish this was a Zoom right now because I would bring him upstairs with me.
Oh my God. I love that.
He is fantastic. He's downstairs. Mm-hmm. He wears a fireman's hat.
Yes. Yes. So, I've seen photos of that.
Yes, he is Fireman Randy. And he also has a Mr. Socko that is over his shoulder. Mm-hmm. So he is still in his place. There's a spotlight just above him with all his action figures in the back. So he is cardboard and well.
Well, you actually did get to meet the real Randy Orton a few times, correct?
Yes.
How were those experiences?
So let me tell you about the first time. The first time I ever met Randy Orton, I was actually working as an extra for WWE. It was Phoenix, Arizona. And it was actually on my 30th birthday I was there, and that was a Tuesday, which was SmackDown, so Randy Orton was in town. And someone told him that it was my birthday, so he came and wished me a happy birthday in catering.
Oh my God.
And LJ, I lost all the basic human function.
Right?
I forgot how to speak. I could not, I don't even know if I said anything to him. He was, you know, because he kind of was like there and he took my hand and like both of his giant hands. And I'm like, what's happening? This is crazy. God. You know, it was very professional, though. It was just sweet. And he just was, somebody obviously told him like this would make her day. So he came and wished me a happy birthday and I fell apart. So that was the first time. So the second time, which would be the photo I think you're referencing, was at the Autorama, which was here in my hometown of Salt Lake City, Utah. And he was here and I was like, oh, I got to go. It's redemption. I've got to go at least be able to mumble two words to him. Right. So I went and I took my action figure and I had him sign that. And it was, I felt like a 10-year-old girl. It was awesome, but it definitely went better than the first time.
Well, I feel like we've all had experiences. I've met a few, like when meeting Jeff Hardy's one of my favorites of all time too. The first time I met him, I was 14 and like a mess because you're just like meeting your like favorite for the first time and you're like what do I say, and so I was just like hi and like didn't say too much. But then the second time, which was last year, I got to meet him. I finally got more words out and had everything prepared. So
I'm so glad. So you had some redemption as well.
Yes, I did, thank God.
I deserve it. I'm so
our younger selves, like we just look back and we cringe, and not a lot of people get like that second redemption in life for people. Not that they'll remember necessarily, but you know, it's just that good feeling of redemption.
Oh yeah, I'm sure Randy was like, what girl did I said happy birthday to? You know, but I think that's so awesome. And good choice on Jeff Hardy. Hardy boys all day long.
Like you said, if we had the cameras right on right now, I have a Jeff Hardy, a little 8x10 framed behind me. So.
Oh, that's amazing.
But yeah. Now, with your own wrestling career, you are obviously known as the tall glass of whoop-ass and the original grunge goddess. So for those who aren't as familiar with your work, can you describe what the original grunge goddess is all about?
Absolutely. So it was kind of my gimmick, but that mostly was because I love the 90s. It was what the world looked like when I grew up. You know, my mom wore flannel and men's clothes, and you know, we didn't have cell phones and stuff. And so I was just a huge fan of the 90s. And I also love music. Music is maybe one of my biggest passions in life. Specifically 90s music. I love the grunge era, and I thought I should do what I love. I should do what I know. And so I kind of did the Nirvana inspired Marty Daniels logo.
Yes.
And set my hometown as Seattle, Washington, even though that's not my hometown. and that's what I that's kind of what I ran with. I named a few of my moves after grunge songs, and that is kind of it in a nutshell. No pun intended. That's an Alice in Chains song. Wow, I didn't even mean to do that.
Now, you also mentioned music playing a big role in your life, and I've seen you've been to quite a few concerts, girl. So what do you think has been the best concert you've ever been to? When and where was it?
Oh, wow. Okay. So Incubus is my all-time favorite band. Mm-hmm. So they are probably going to be tops because I didn't actually get to see them until I was, you know, quite later in my life.
Yeah.
But they're this band that, you know, a lot of their CDs that I grew up listening to are now 20 years old, which is crazy to say. But it is interesting because if you have a band like that, that's been with you that long, it's almost like you grew up together. You know, you've listened to those songs when, for me, my earliest one was 9. So I've been listening to these songs. I'm not good at math, so that's like 24 years, something like that. And so you kind of have these songs that go with you through all these different things, whether it's breakups, success, or jobs, or losses, you know, all sorts of things. And so Incubus might be have to be my top concert just because of the emotional stuff that's behind all of that. But fantastic performers that I've seen that are really, really good in person are like Jimmy Eat World was fantastic. Candlebox is one of my favorites to ever see live. They sound just like themselves. John Mayer, another one of my absolute faves.
John's amazing in person.
Yes, just amazing. So I have to say those are my tops.
Ooh, a lot of good choices. See, you have some variety there because John isn't grunge. So do you Not think you're primarily grunge, or do you kind of listen to a variety as well?
A total variety. Okay. I love music and I love different styles. I think it's just a form of expression. So I love to see a person's approach to how they want to do that musically.
Now, if you could have any band or artist play your entrance out to the ring, who would it be and why, and what song?
That's an amazing question. You're a fabulous interviewer. Okay, so another thing, I love Adelita's Way, which they actually wrote Invincible, and that was a song I loved. And I didn't know that WWE NXT used it for their stuff because that was before I was wrestling and familiar with that. But they have a song that's called What It Takes, and I listen to that all the time because it's kind of like my motivational jam. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe Adelita's Way could write a sick entrance song.
I would love to see that. That'd be
have to be my answer, I think.
Okay. Now, if you could have any celebrity be your manager to the ring for a night, who would you choose and why?
Ooh, celebrity be my manager. Also a fantastic question. Really making me think. I'm smelling smoke over here. Let's see. Oh.
Gotta bring the tough ones in.
Yeah, I feel like it would be really crazy. Okay, this is a crazy answer, and I might like, you know, second guess myself later, but I feel like it would be fantastic to hear Michael Caine be my announcer because, or, you know, my manager, because he's got that great voice.
Yeah. That'd I feel be like an interesting combination.
Right? I feel like anything he'd say, people would be like, we're willing to listen to whatever you say.
Well, yeah, because he just has that presence about him that when he talks, you'll listen.
Exactly. So, you know, he could be good or bad. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of what's coming to my head right now.
We got a book. Someone's got to book that pairing one day, Marty.
Right. Well, let him know, LJ. I feel okay. Like you have some pull.
Just a little bit. No, I'm kidding. Now, I also understand that you participated in the WWE Tough Enough 2015 auditions, correct?
It was the 2018.
Oh, excuse me.
You said Tough Enough. Yeah. I did audition via a video submission.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about the gist of it. I did not physically participate in it. I sent him a video.
Okay. Well, I think you thought I was talking about your WWE tryout in 2018, which we can totally talk about too. I know you posted about that. It was late 2018, correct? The WWE tryout that you were thinking of, right?
It was, yes. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump ahead or cross episode, but yes, that was December of 2018.
So can you tell me about how the process of that arose? Like, how did they contact you and how was that? I assume it was multiple days. How was the process of that getting to train and try out with some of the elite trainers in WWE today?
So honestly, I got the email out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. It came to me precisely about a month before I was supposed to go. So it was about, I think, November 14th that I got the email of 2018, and I was just checking my email. You know, I don't usually get much, but, I looked at it and it was from, you know, someone I did not recognize. When I looked at it, it said, you know, would you like to attend a WWE tryout of December of 2018? Mm-hmm. And I was like, am I getting punked? Like, is this a prank?
Yeah, because you never know. People like do all this scamming and stuff. Yeah.
Totally. But once I clicked all the links and stuff and saw that it was legit, I was like, oh my gosh, this is for real. I guess I better start doing some cardio. So and it is a 3-day camp that you do. Mine was a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we checked in Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And did like all of our weigh-in and our physicals and things like that. And then began the actual stuff the next 3 days. And I'm not sure if there was something else you wanted to ask me before I kept going.
No, I was just going to wonder, like, what did they have you guys do? Obviously, it's like a camp like you described. Did they make you do certain workouts or routines in the ring to kind of prove yourself? And what was the final result of it?
I mean this in the nicest way when I say that I think the whole thing is a matter of proving yourself.
Yeah.
I believe that they do have prospects because I have worked as a extra for WWE, several times since around 2015. Mm-hmm. So they did know of me. And so I think that every once in a while they just decide maybe it's this person's turn to get a tryout or something like that. So as far as it goes, it is definitely one of the hardest things I've ever done physically. But I was exceptionally proud of how I did. I did train my butt off for it. And I just wanted to make sure that no matter what, I didn't quit. And I just wanted to make sure that I had enough gas in my tank at all times that it didn't even look like I wanted to quit. It's a hard thing to describe in only a few sentences because it was physically challenging. Mm-hmm. It was emotionally challenging. You kind of become somewhat of a desensitized soldier when you're in a scenario where everything is just go.
Yeah.
You kind of forget that you have a dog and a house and a life because everything is just like, I'm here to survive this and I want to do well. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way towards them. It's designed that way, but it's also something that when you do it and you achieve it, it's a feeling that is kind of second to none because you have survived or done this thing and that is meant to challenge you and drain you and almost make you want to quit. But you also gain this amazing sense of camaraderie when you're in that room. And there were a couple times where, you know, we've been through it all in that day together and we're there and we're counting our squats out loud together. And you kind of just look around and you're like, I don't think I'll ever be in the same room as these same 30 people ever again. But for this moment, we were all in each other's lives and helped each other to succeed in this moment. And it's very, very powerful. And I get chills on my body when I talk about it right now, because there was real, I hate to throw the word around loosely, but truly it's like magic. It's when those kinds of things happen.
It's also kind of like a bonding experience, I guess. Or like you said, there is camaraderie because you guys are all trying to prove yourselves, but you guys are all going through the same things. So there's a feeling of competition, but also, like you said, camaraderie. So you got to like balance that, I assume.
Yes. And while there is competition, because, you know, we all want a spot there.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're a serious wrestler, that's exactly what you want. But at the same time, you know, there is room for everybody and every type. And so when you're there, it does become like, let's just do this together. And I'm sure you've heard of the infamous bag drill.
Yes.
From these tryouts. And that is as challenging as you've heard.
For those of the people who don't know, can you explain what the bag drill is?
They have kind of like one of those either wrestling or boxing dummy bags that are kind of like the black leather that are in kind of the shape of a torso. Mm-hmm. And they lay those out, and they may have also used, I think that's what they used. They lay those in the center of the ring. So you hit the rope, you drop down into like a push-up burpee, and you need to pop up over the bag so that you are flipping to the other side. So if your head was facing one way, you would flip it to the other side of the bag into the same burpee fashion, pop back up and hit the ropes. And then when you hit the ropes, you just keep going and do that same thing. And there are three rings, maybe even four or five rings that were set up at that time. Mm-hmm. But you are in competition with the other person who is running against you. So you have to complete that in all three rings. And it was honestly the most challenging thing there. It took, I cried. I was sweating. I peed my pants just a little bit, because you're pushing your bladder down on that mat so hard so many times. And I just remember that, like, we had all been through that, and like you become, I don't know. It's like this otherworldly feeling. And then we all went to dinner that night, and I was still in my leggings that I had kind of peed a little bit. And it was like Step Brothers, where he's like, I'm still sitting in my dirty pee pants.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like that. That's the realest I can be with you, is that it's very physically challenging, but I am so glad I did it. I'm so grateful for that opportunity. And it's just a really cool thing to be a part of.
I bet. You talk about challenges, though. Is there an opponent throughout your career you think has challenged or pushed you the most inside of the ring? I feel like I know your answer, but I want to hear your perspective on that.
The opponents, as far as that goes, everyone has a completely different style to how they approach wrestling, a wrestling match, and techniques. So, you know, I've had a few people who they're not very talkative with you, and you're like, I don't even know if they like me, or, you know, if they hate me. I don't know how this match is going to go. And then I've had a great match because we didn't need to talk to each other. And we had moments where when we were in the ring, we would just look at each other, and it's like, we knew what we were thinking, and it became more like a dance. So we didn't need to have a conversation. And then I gotta say, when I wrestled Jordan, when you are as experienced as she is, because she has truly traveled the globe doing this, there is so much of that they bring to the ring, and we pushed each other, but in a way where I feel as though I was elevated as a wrestler just from being in the ring with her. That is when magic happens. I felt pure magic when I wrestled Jordan. We were just, you know, like there was this moment where we're like, we screamed each other's names at each other before we were going to go in the corner. And it's like those things that we don't plan. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that we felt in the moment. And it felt like we were really fighting, but it was like we were both fighting for the same thing, which was we just really wanted to give to this audience and give to the fans. And it just felt like that.
And for those of you who don't know, she's talking about Jordan Grace, by the way.
I'm sorry if I didn't say her full
name.
No,
you're good. I had a good idea that's the answer you were going to say. But for those of you who don't know, she's talking about Jordan Grace.
Yes. Fabulous worker. Truly. That's just a magnificent worker inside that ring. And it's those kinds of things that keep me coming back, because I love every single time I'm in that ring. Mm-hmm. Every single time feels like home and the place I want to be. But there are times that are just really like, wow, that was it's another thing that gives me chills when I talk about it. So I have them up and down my body right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't you love those moments though, where you can just like naturally click with someone and have like a good chemistry with them, whether and in any aspect of life, but especially like in the ring, because you guys are being watched, and to put on a great performance with someone who you just naturally click with and vibe with is something really special, magical, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and there's like a spot in that match where she starts using some of the kids in the audience.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that was going to happen, you know? So I think there was a moment where, you know, in the match, my face is like, did you really just hit me with a kid? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's sometimes you don't see those moments happening, but the moments that you're talking about, I feel like those are what I try to chase down in life. You know, I feel those sometimes at concerts, at those things. So I kind of live for that feeling. And I think we all should, that they're like the best feelings in the world.
I totally agree, especially at concerts. And then you just want to relive it. And then you know, you just wish you could be in that moment forever. It's like the world stops. I've had that a few times and it's like, you can't describe it. Like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. You did a pretty good job describing it though, Ella J.
So, thank you.
The world does stop. Yeah. It's those are the moments that make my heart just set on fire.
Now, speaking of fire, you recently appeared on not one, but two episodes of AEW Dark, which is the kind of YouTube show for AEW Dynamite, against Ty Conti and Shanna. So can you tell me more about those experiences? What was the atmosphere like during those recording sessions and your matches against them?
So I just want to start by saying that AEW is the absolute best place I've ever been as far as wrestling goes. The atmosphere that they create there is so loving, and there's just such an air of everyone from the, you know, the guy who's doing production to your ref to the top, all want you to succeed, and you very much feel that there. And when you're in that environment, it's almost hard not to, because you just feel like everyone is rooting for you, which many people in the wrestling industry probably know that that's not always what it's like. So I had a wonderful experience there. And I had a really good time wrestling both of those girls. The funny thing is that a lot of people, and I hope I'm not getting in trouble for saying this, but I don't think that I would, that AEW Dark is actually filmed typically after Dynamite.
Yeah.
So it's usually late at night. So I think I was wrestling at like 10 and then like 11:30 at night, which is kind of crazy. If you've been up all day, you know, you're kind of like, I was drinking a lot of Red Bulls and stuff, but it is a little weird when you're out there just like wrestling at 10 o'clock at night. But, something happens when, you know, you go through the curtain or the proverbial curtain or come out the AEW tunnel, and it's like, your adrenaline kicks in and it's just go time. And it's also so fun, you know? But my experiences there were amazing. I love AEW and I have really just the best things to say about them.
Me too. Have you been watching like a lot of the AEW, the other AEW talents they've had on Dark? They've had a lot of the girls from the Texas scene. They've brought people from Japan. Have you been paying close attention to that or are aware of that?
Yeah, recently, especially, you know, because if it's something that I hope to do again, which I do, you kind of want to get familiar with the people that you're working with and see what they like to do and learn what they like to do and learn how to take their moves and how to sell them and all those kinds of things, because it's just a way of improving your craft.
Oh, absolutely. And especially with, like, I love AEW Dark too, because it spotlights those who you may have never heard of. See, I've been following you for like a year now, but for those, and then not just yourself, but there's been people like, we've seen Catalina Perez, we've seen Danny Jordan, Heather Monroe, Alex Gracia, who we've seen people make multiple appearances now, and AEW is giving that opportunity to showcase talents people may have not seen otherwise if they don't watch the indies and stuff like that. So they're doing a great thing of bringing in a bunch of talent, not just for a one-off, but a lot of times on multiple occasions.
Yeah, and how cool is that? I mean, I really have to applaud what they're doing for, especially women in that sense, but they're doing it for both men and women, for all people, all wrestlers. They are providing opportunities, like you said, for many who have not been heard of or had an opportunity on a grander stage like themselves. So I truly have to applaud and thank them for what they're doing, because it has certainly been something that has benefited me. But just, you know, like I said, to feel the atmosphere that they create there is also reinvigorating, because you feel like you just want to keep going.
I can imagine that. Yeah.
Yeah. They do kind of just inspire you to feel like there is that this atmosphere is possible, and it's something I really want to work for and be a part of. So I think about that. I think about how well they treat their all the people in all the different positions. Mm-hmm. They're just a wonderful company. So,
well, fingers crossed they get you back, because I'd love to see you back.
Well, thank you, Ella J. It really does mean a lot. And thanks for following me for a whole year, you said. Mm-hmm. You're awesome.
Thank you.
It's been kind of a lousy year for to be a wrestling.
Yeah, for a lot of people. Yeah, I bet. But, you know, I mean, like you said at the beginning of this year, 2021 has been pretty good so far. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I have to stay positive on that kind of stuff. It's all you can do, you know?
Now, switching gears here, you also co-host a podcast called the Area 52 Podcast, all about mysteries, paranormal, conspiracy theories, and more. So how did you get started with this? Because I find this extremely fascinating.
Your research is deep, girl. You're good. You are really good. I do, actually. I am a huge fan of conspiracy. I love, but I also just love the idea of getting all the information.
Yeah.
I just want to know everything I can about stuff. And when there's ideas out there, there might be alternate thought towards things. I'm just fascinated with it. So one of my favorites is the idea that the Denver International Airport is a doomsday bunker for the elite. That's one of my favorite conspiracies. Mm-hmm. And I like it because I've been through DIA quite a few times. And it's a freaking weird airport. I don't know if you've ever seen some of the murals that are painted there.
I have not, unfortunately.
I'll have to send you some links. Okay. Or anybody that's listening, all you have to do is Google Denver Airport murals, and it's going to pop up. And yes, it's the creepy ones that are popping up. It's those. Ooh. So I don't know. I really like that kind of stuff, because, you know, if it's not those things, you got to ask yourself, well, then why do you guys do some of the things that you do? They displaced a lot of dirt when they were rebuilding it, and they had like 5 10-story buildings that are underground, and they're like, well, we're not really going to use those, so we'll just cover them back up with dirt. And I'm like, you just buried them? Like, what are you guys using them for? You're not just storing like office chairs down there. So I'm just always fascinated by those kinds of things.
Now, you guys also cover like things like paranormal and ghost stories. So do you yourself have any personal ghost stories?
I do have a personal ghost story.
Ooh,
and quite possibly, Ella J, that might be the reason that I am the way that I am.
Okay.
You know, as far as questioning things, it's kind of an interesting story. But when I was about 9, I shared a room with my sister, and we were laying in bed one night, and I laid on the side that would have been closest to the door, but I was facing away talking to her. So she was facing me and would have been looking towards the door. And she kind of just made this face like you see in movies where people say they look like they saw a ghost. And she slowly started to pull her head underneath the covers. And I was like, what, what? And I looked over, and I saw a ghost, but What the weird thing is that I was seeing my mom's friend. He was, well, one of my parents' friends, I should say. And I knew who I was seeing. I knew exactly who I was seeing, but I also knew that I was seeing what I was seeing. So he was in a white t-shirt and jeans and white sneakers, and he kind of was by the door and he walked past the frame and kind of put his hand on the frame that would be furthest away. So as if he had just crossed through the door frame, put his hand on and kind of looked in at me and then kept walking on down the hall.
Oh my gosh.
And he was very much like you think a ghost would be. He was kind of translucent, but he was also giving off his own light, but not completely illuminating the hallway. And why this is interesting is because, and I know it's a little bit personal to say that, but I asked my mom, you know, I got up out of bed immediately and I said, "Did you just walk down the hallway?" And she was asleep. I had to wake her up. And she was like, "No." And in the morning, I said, "I know who I saw. Like, I know who it was." And she thought that was kind of strange because she didn't think it was possible. But 3 days later, we actually found out that this gentleman had, their friend had actually killed himself. He
Holy
had committed
shit.
suicide in the mountains. So when I saw him was actually probably when it had happened, because they didn't find out for 3 days later. So it was really kind of strange, but both myself and my sister saw him. And like I said, I knew who I was seeing, and what I was seeing when I saw it. So, you know, I was kind of like, well, that's a ghost. So those exist. Yeah, that's, I guess, where we go from here.
I have goosebumps just listening to this because I'm really into like ghost stories and paranormal stuff too. I don't have any like vivid ghost stories myself, but I love watching like ghost hunters and like scary movies and like real paranormal stuff. And I don't know why, but like we like to scare ourselves, but like it's something really fascinating.
It is, and you know, maybe LJ, there might be an aspect of, I will say that as creepy as it was also kind of this thing that gave me a huge sense of hope. Because when you are young, you know, some people have religion and things that are taught to them or told to them as an idea of comfort or what happens to us when we die and these kinds of things. And when you're young, you're really just trying to figure all that out. And I remember thinking, well, if I'm seeing him and I'm seeing something, there is a part of him that is clearly existing after his physical body is no longer there. And it was kind of like a cool and hopeful moment that I had of like, well, that's rad. Part of our spirit, part of our soul, part of our essence, whatever it is, can still walk down somebody's hallway, you know, after we're gone. And so it was a very profound moment. But it's definitely probably what spawned my interest into all of those things as well, because we're, you know, we're all fascinated with the answers that none of us seem to truly have.
So, if you had to recommend one episode for your Area 52 podcast for new listeners to check out, is there a specific one in mind you would suggest to them, whether it's mystery, paranormal, or conspiracy theories? Which one do you think they should check out?
I say go with what your interests are, you know, because, or if you have something that you would like to learn more about. But I often, people will say, like, I love ghosts. So they listen to the ghost one, you know. And then if you like our vibe or what we do, I will be honest, I'm a little more freely speaking and I do swear. So I do swear on the podcast. So I have to be honest about that. But aside from that, I love the Denver International Airport one. That's one that a lot of people haven't really heard of. It's kind of a cool one to listen to and kind of ask yourself some questions about. Let me think of another one that's really good. It has been a minute since I've thought. There's so many things. There's one about the moon. There's the idea that we are actually on the moon, and not us, but that we have actually gone to the moon, that we do it regularly, and that we're harvesting it for helium 3, and that it's a hologram in the sky that we see. So
Interesting.
I love all those things. And again, these are not the things that I necessarily believe. It's just that these are suggested theories that
You're
I'm like,
exploring them.
And I'm like, well, is it a hologram? I want to know, you know, and why would you hologram the moon? So it's those kinds of things that I find fascinating. It's if it is, then why would you do that?
I don't know. But it's like you said, it's fun to delve into and kind of explore. And it, like you said, it's a conspiracy theory. So nothing wrong with dabbling in a little bit and sharing your thoughts on it. So yeah. Huh. I'm going to check out some episodes. I'm really fascinated by this when I found this out.
Well, I'm flattered and I really hope that you enjoy what you find.
I probably will. I most likely will. I'm excited. From the stories that you're telling me here, I'm definitely can find something I'm interested in. I think so.
Yeah. And there's so many YouTube rabbit holes or just, you know, information rabbit holes that you can, if you have a favorite topic, you know, some people love gnomes and the idea that we have these little things that live in the earth. And, but then there's like all these videos that come from Argentina and South America and stuff like that of like these little gnome looking things that have pointed hats. And then you got to ask yourself, well, who's making the pointed hats?
Yeah.
You know, like there's just so much. So if that's the stuff you like, there is a rabbit hole for everything.
YouTube is such a rabbit hole, but we could go for hours about that. The amount of times I've hit a recommended video and then it's 3 hours later and I'm like, oh, oops. But I digress.
Yes. You're doing your research though, and you're obviously very good at it. So.
Well, thank you. But finally, my last question. We are all about hashtag girl power here on A Wrestling Gal. So who are some females in your personal or professional life that inspire or empower you the most?
My mom would have to be a female that has inspired me. She really does never slow down. She's always looking to invest in interesting and new things. She runs her own trucking company. She's kind of always gone against the grain and does, you know, lady doing man stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I could, you know, she's working on a building little subdivisions and she's just always up to something. Like she'll call me and tell me I'm doing this thing. And I'm like, really? Okay. I had no idea, you know? So, my mom is a really, awesome lady. And I do have a fantastic group of women around me at my boxing gym and friends who support me. And I have to say online, I have a really fantastic show of support from women. So I am very fortunate with the people in my life that support me in that way.
We love women supporting women.
So I have to say, I felt those side effects and I'm very appreciative.
Good. As you should be. We love to support one another. We're all humans on this earth and we just got to uplift each other.
That's right. I love that. You're speaking my language, LJ.
Now, before I let you go, Marty, can you please tell the listeners where they can find you on your social medias?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much. You can find me typically under Marty Daniels, MartiDaniels, and at Tall Glass of Whoopass. On any of the platforms, Marty Daniels on YouTube, Marty Daniels Tall Glass Whoopass on Twitter, Insta, and Facebook.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today, Marty. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure was all mine. You are a fabulous interviewer and just the research and just everything. I just had the best time. So thank you so very much.
Thank you. That means a lot. I'm excited for the future that 2021 holds for you. I feel optimistic for you.
Thank you so much. I feel optimistic for the world and for everything. So I feel like, you know, we just got to keep on keeping on. That's what Joe Dirt would say, right?
That's right. Alrighty. Thank you again, Marty.
Thank you so much.